Welcome to Reading Deadly Troubadours, the weekly podcast where I, Brent Thomas, read my novel, Deadly Troubadours. Let's begin, shall we?
Chapter 32, Kestra, Origin 7. Zha woke with a start. Sitting over her, with one hand gesturing for silence, was Kestra. Even in the darkness of the room, it was easy to see the younger girl was panicked. Zha fought off the lasting effects of sleep and tried to focus on what was in front of her. "You were not supposed to be back until morning," Zha whispered. It was then that she noticed the dark stains of blood on Kestra's hands and face. "Little sister, what have you done?" "I didn't want to be taken by such a man," Kestra said, her eyes brimming over with tears. Zha sat up and pulled Kestra to her chest. She could feel Kestra's heaving sobs even as she tried to stay as silent as possible. Zha shed her own tears, as she knew what would need to happen now. "Little sister, you must listen. There is not much time. Is the man dead?" Kestra nodded, even as she answered, "I think so." Zha sighed. Foe's wrath would be terrible. "I will fetch a basin of water. You will need to wash your face and hands. For now, gather clothes, things of value that you can sell. You will need to be gone before anyone thinks to check on you." Zha slipped out of the room and left Kestra alone with her thoughts. She kept feeling the pressure of the man upon her. She laid out a sheet and started sorting through her few possessions. Except for her bedclothes, most of what she owned was leather and for the circle. The only outfits she possessed that weren't for fighting were the beige shifts all of Foe's girls used for daily wear and the ruined silk she now wore. All she had was for the entertainment of others. Her fighting was entertainment. Her very body was entertainment. Foe and the man she killed saw her only as an object. The only one she knew who saw her as a person was Zha. But did she? Zha braided her hair and included her in secrets, but was that anything different from how she would treat a favorite doll? If they were allowed such things? Maybe all she was a shadow, a toy for those around her. Kestra's stomach felt tight and acidic. She was cold. She felt her face crumple before she even knew she was crying. Zha entered to find Kestra standing in the center of the room. A half-filled sheet lay on the bed. Zha went to her and wrapped her arms around her. "It is okay now," she said. "He can't hurt you." Zha kissed the smaller girl's thick red hair. "Am I just a doll to you?" The question took Zha by surprise, but her expression didn't change. "You are to me as a sister. Nothing will change that. But you need to hurry or Foe will find you and take you away." Kestra nodded. The two worked together. Kestra did her best to scrub away any trace of the night's events. Zha busied herself with packing, even though there was little to pack. Then, together, they dressed Kestra for travel. When they were both satisfied in her appearance, they crept out of the room. First was a quick stop to the pantries for food. Dried fruits and hard bread should keep on the road, and they mustn't forget about water. They had raided the stores together in the past, but that was for fun, and this was for survival. They filled a sack that Kestra could wear around her shoulders. Neither spoke a word. When the sack was full, they slipped away to the side doors. Kestra had never fully appreciated how much freedom Zha was given. All the other girls were under guard and key. Zha alone was allowed to walk out and see the stars as she wished. She alone had the chance for freedom, which was a punishment in itself. Together they walked far from the house of Foe and stood in the sand beyond its gates. "Come with me," Kestra said. "I can't. I still have a family. Foe has been kind to them. Leaving would have put an end to that, an end to them." Kestra wanted to yell at the older girl, to tell her that a family would not sell her into bondage. A real family would not force her to fight for her life. They would not turn her into a whore. she wanted to tell Ja that her family was as dead to her as Kestra's was. She wanted to tell her that the two of them were the only family that either had left. But she couldn't. She loved her too much to destroy her dream, even if it meant leaving her in her gilded prison. "Foe will want to punish you," was all Kestra could say. "Yes, but I am valuable alive and unharmed. I will survive." Tears slipped down Zha's cheeks. "So will I." Kestra's voice was wet with her own tears. They embraced once more. It was tight and desperate. Neither wanted to let go. Kestra's tears continued to fall as she walked alone into the sands.
That's all for this week. Thanks for listening. Deadly Troubadours is now available as an ebook from Smashwords.com, Amazon.com, and Apple's online store. If you want to know more about me, Brent Thomas, you can visit my website at DeadlyTroubadour.com. You can also like me on Facebook
by searching for the Brent Thomas author page.
This podcast is available on iTunes, so if you have a moment, please rate and review the show. While you are there, why not check out my other podcasts, Comics League International and Living Japan. If you want to contact me, email me at deadlytroubadour@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter at deadtroubadour.
The best way to support me and my work is on patreon.com/Brent Thomas. Even a pledge of $1 a month can make a real difference. Thank you for listening. Please tell your friends. And you know what? Have a great day.